BlackRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, Not Hardy.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host,
they've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
I knew you'd come.
It's such a good vibration. It's such a sweet sensation. You're such a hot temptation. It's such a
sweet sensation.
I got the wild ones, high ones, high ones, do what I want. One's up, one, two, get to the middle and throw it back to me. Nobody do it like you do that for me. Sheesh, don't blow half on the halftime freak. Let's talk Biscayne, shout out South Beach. Do some loose, what's up, I broke the leash. Yeah, 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 you got all three eyes on the prize.
Right now, right now, right now.
I got a real good thing on the rise.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com as well. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're live for a big night here on The Rack.
I like this song. I'm grooving to it, man. This is a good song to come into.
It's Sweet Sensation by Florida.
Oh, really? It's a Flo Rida song? Oh, I feel guilty now. It's like, wow, this is a good song. I'm enjoying this song. And then,
Flo Rida.
Florida. Flo Rida, whatever.
Florida. I mean, and he's stealing good vibrations, too.
Yeah.
That was good. Yeah. That's a good song.
Anyway, yeah, it is a good song.
At Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lynn's Ward, you can tweet along throughout the night. You can join us at wildtalkradio.com, rackradioshow.com, girl.net, twitch.tv/WTR Live, and chat there and talk to us and all that fun stuff, because we got a lot to get into tonight.
We do. We have SummerSlam, we have NXT TakeOver, and we will be having our analysts, depending on how this all goes down, coming later for you in the show. But we have to give a couple quick shout-outs before we get into everything. First of all, huge shout-out to Matt Goldberg, our buddy over at MBG Films. He got married this past weekend, so big congratulations to him and his new wife, and I hope they have a wonderful, happy life together. I saw the pics from the wedding. She looked gorgeous, and they're so cute.
He had a celebrity in attendance.
He did have a celebrity in attendance.
Elijah Burke. Okay.
He had Elijah Burke come to his wedding. That's so cool.
That is kind of cool.
So, big congratulations to Matt and Alyssa. I hope many, many, many happy years together for you both. Because they're so cute. I love them. And also, we have to get out the shout out for the late, great Aretha Franklin respect. She was a legend, and sadly we lost her today, unfortunately. So early blame Rob, which we don't usually do on the show, but have to mention it because it's huge news, and she will be missed. I know she will be missed. So
yep,
because you know we came into good music despite the fact it's Flo Rida, but you know you have to give the shout out to the Queen of Soul and good music and all that stuff. So anyway, moving on. Awkward. We are going to awkwardness. We are going to jump right into our SummerSlam preview. If you've never listened to this show before, this is a little bit of a different format than what we normally do. Normally, we do news and all that other stuff, but because this is two pay-per-views, we're talking nothing but two pay-per-views. So, sorry. In advance, next week's show will probably be very similar. So,
we'll only be one pay-per-view next week because we're going to do one live. Saturday
night. Oh, that's
night,
right.
We'll do the NXT TakeOver review live on Saturday night.
That's right.
We'll be sort of back to normal next week.
Yeah, sort of back to normal, but not really. But anyway, yes. So we're going to go right into our SummerSlam preview, which emanates this Sunday night starting at 6.
Pay-per-view live main pay-per-view starts at 7 p.m. Eastern. The pre-show starts at 5 p.m. Eastern, featuring 3 pre-show matches, which we'll get into here in a little bit.
But we're just going to start right off the top just to get it the hell out of the way because we don't want it looming off in the distance. And that is, we're going to talk about the WWE Universal Championship, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns for the title. And yes, this is going to be the main event.
Better not be.
It should be.
It shouldn't be.
Well, if what we all think is going to happen happens, it should be. Close the show with Braun Strowman cashing in and winning the title.
Okay, so that... it's been the scenario that we've all talked about. We've all want to see, right? I don't know if it's happening because...
well, yeah, there's another match on this card that could influence that heavily.
Yeah, but no, it's not even that. It's we've been saying for how long this has to happen. Roman needs to get his belt.
Okay, I'm just going to say it right now, okay? Throwing the hashtag out there. Roman better win or we riot. Because legit, I'm sick of this. I'm so sick of this. Raw has such a glass ceiling right now that it's beyond ridiculous. Nobody can move because that title is so locked up with Brock Lesnar. And they're not bringing him in to defend it. Because I don't even think it's his refusal. That's total storyline. It's just that they don't want to burn the dates. And so they're being very circumspect with whenever they bring him in. So it's like, at this point, it's ridiculous. The title, I'm sorry, the title means nothing to me. The title is worthless at this point. I've gotten so used to it not being on the show, I don't even care about it anymore. That's not good.
No, it's not good. But here's the thing. Okay. Say the scenario happened, Roman beats Brock, and then Braun beats Roman, nothing was accomplished. Roman Reigns...
No. Something was accomplished.
No.
You got the title off of Brock.
But you're not accomplishing what the main goal is.
I don't care about the main goal.
You will in 3 months when you're complaining that Roman Reigns isn't the champion yet, and they're going to continue to push him down your throat if he's not the champion.
Honestly, I would rather have him pushed down my throat for 3 months than continue on with 3 months of this bullshit.
For months, I've been predicting Braun's going to cash in and win this belt. The more and more we get to this show, I don't think it's happening. I can see it happening on Monday Night Raw. I don't see it happening on SummerSlam. And part of me, please, Brock Lesnar is walking out of SummerSlam, your WWE Universal Champion.
You shut your mouth right now.
In fact, my prediction is Brock Lesnar walks out of SummerSlam, your WWE Universal Champion.
I will cry. I will get on the air and cry if that happens. I'm not even really a Roman fan. I'm just so fed up with this whole thing that I will legit cry if this happens.
But I will add this. By the time we do the show next week, there will be a new Universal Champion.
I hope to God you're right.
And it would be Braun Strowman cashing in on Monday Night Raw.
I don't understand why you would do it on Raw and not on the pay-per-view. Because then you can, it's like if you do it at the pay-per-view, then you can have Brock cash in, or you can have Brock cash in his rematch Monday night. He loses, and then goodbye Brock Lesnar.
But Brock's not going to cash in a rematch. Brock's going to be done once he loses his belt.
Fine!
He's supposedly booked for next week on Raw. That's why my mind's going, he's not losing this belt.
Supposedly.
They know it's more than supposedly. They promoted, like, it was been promoted locally that he was going to be on the show next week. So it's like they promoted it.
Okay, but that's card subject to change. Wow, they really should not. That's kind of an interesting graphic. Anyway, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's more of, I don't know if Roman winning is going to settle what they want. I don't think Roman winning does anything for Roman Reigns. Did he finally beat Brock Lesnar? Yeah, but how many times did Brock Lesnar beat him?
But here's the thing. You have time with Roman to build him back up again, to get people behind him again. Yes, and they're going to keep doing it again and again and again and again until it happens or until they find someone else, because it's the Sheamus factor. It's exactly what it is. Years ago, they decided Sheamus was the guy. Sheamus was the one they were going to put all their weight behind, and they pushed the absolute crap out of Sheamus, and the crowd rejected him, and they kept at it for years until they finally realized, oh, hey, this isn't working. I have a funny feeling this is either going to work or it's not, and at some point they're going to realize it with Roman, and they're going to have to give up.
I also can see Roman Reigns winning this belt, Braun Strowman not cashing in for months, that he's going to wait it out. He'll just loom over Roman Reigns for months and months and months, and they're going to give Roman Reigns this long title reign into the Royal Rumble, maybe even into WrestleMania. I can see it happening, because they're dead set on making Roman Reigns. If that's the way they want to go, and they want to push Roman Reigns, him winning and losing the belt in 10 minutes, what does that do for you?
But what do they want to do at this point? Do they want to make the crowd happy, or do they want to push Roman Reigns?
They want to make Roman Reigns.
But they've tried to make Roman Reigns.
That doesn't matter. They're going to continue to try to make Roman Reigns. You know it, and I know it.
I know that. I get that. But here's the thing. They have not changed that title twice because that crowd has booed and booed and booed Roman Reigns repetitively.
You think it's going to change on Sunday?
I hope to God it's going to change on Sunday because they're hearing the outcry of the crowds for the fact that they're tired of Brock Lesnar, which they've done their job there. They've made everybody sick of him. They've made everybody mad at him.
New York. It's Brooklyn. They're going to boo the crap out of Roman Reigns.
Well, that's fine. You know what? Here's the thing. You have Roman win the title. You have him walk out on Monday Night Raw. They boo the crap out of him, and he says, F yours. And he just walks out on the crowd. They've been writing Roman Reigns sassier. They have been writing him stronger, especially Monday night. And for the love of God, that gives me hope that maybe, just maybe, they have given up on stoic, flatpan Roman Reigns, and they're finally going to give the man a personality, or they're going to let his natural personality come through, and they're going to have him be that more sassier, tweener character that they've been trying to have him be for a while now, but they were writing him flatpan. So it's like every time he would say something heelish or he would do something heelish, it would always fall flat because there wasn't the sheer confidence there to back it up. He wasn't cocky. He was just there. Now you're writing Roman Reigns more cocky. You're writing him like you did when he was in the Shield. And that was the Roman that everybody liked. That was the Roman everybody got behind. They have finally, at last, figured that out, that that's the Roman everybody wants to see. And so now they're writing him like that.
They figured that out 7 times in the last 12 months, and guess what happens every time after they figure it out? And he wins a match. He's back to the same old Roman Reigns.
I keep having hope they're gonna stick to it.
You can keep hoping it's not gonna last.
Anyway, we need to like pick.
Brock Lesnar retains the Universal Championship.
I'm gonna keep hope. I'm going Roman.
8-ball goes Roman Reigns.
8-ball and I are one right now.
What's next?
Up next, we have Rusev and Lana, and this is on the pre-show, by the way, taking on Andrade Cien Almas and Zelina Vega. This should be fun.
It's been building up nicely on SmackDown Live. I'm going to say that a lot tonight. It's been building nicely on SmackDown Live. The wild card is going to be Aiden English. Does he finally help his team win, or does he finally cost them for good and get fired by Lana and Rusev? I'm going points. Andrade Cien Almas and Zelina Vega win this one. It's too soon for Andrade to lose a match of this on a pay-per-view type setting. He lost to AJ. That's one thing. He was the champion. Andrade needs this win.
Yeah, Andrade's hot right now. Zelina's hot right now. Lana and Rusev, not so much. They're cooling that down. My only issue with this is they're like, Lana and Rusev are going to team. They're going to come together and they're going to team together. Well, yeah, they're married. It's not like, you know, she came down on high or anything. They live in the same house. They travel together. Of course she's going to do it. She's his wife. Like this whole, he doesn't want either of them. It's like, that's a little awkward because you're married to one of them. So I just have a funny feeling English is going to cost them, and that's going to be the end of that, sadly. no more Rusev Day, which I don't understand why they're killing it, but okay, fine, whatever. So yeah, I'm going Vega and Almas.
The 8-ball goes Rusev and Lana.
See, 8-ball, we were together. We were a pair, and you gotta do me like that. You gotta do me like that. Anyway, up next, the WWE Cruiserweight Championship is on the line on the pre-show as Cedric Alexander is taking Drew Gulak. This has been building really nicely in 205 Live, and I want my boy Drew to win. I want him to win, and I want him to bust out that 67-page PowerPoint presentation he's been waiting to do on his championship win, and, you know, all the awesomeness there. And by the way, Drew Gulak, if you're in the sound of my voice, I do design custom PowerPoint presentations on the side. Just saying, just, you know, slide in my DMs. I'll hook you up, just for the record. I know he's not doing that gimmick anymore, but seeing as that's my job, that's pretty much what I do. That I love that. So I'm going Drew.
I feel like Leo Rush is the next Cruiserweight champion.
Why?
Because that's the sort of way it feels like they're building it on 205 Live. Every sense of my being wants Drew Gulak to be Cruiserweight champion because I would find it awesome and hysterical as him as champion. It feels like Leo Rush. I'm going Drew Gulak. I'm just... because you can always take the title back off of him and put it on Cedric. I'm going Drew. 8-ball win Cedric.
There you go.
Next.
Up next, probably the sleeper match of the night, maybe, maybe not. This is the one I think we're most excited for, or one of the ones we're most excited for. That is Daniel Bryan, at last, finally, 3 years in the making, taking on The Miz. No title, no nothing, just two guys with pure burning hatred for each other, getting ready to punch each other in the face. I can't wait for this.
You skipped one, but we'll get back to it.
I want to talk about this one.
Okay. I'm just saying. We'll get to, okay. Fine. So, as previously mentioned, they have been building this up very well on SmackDown Live. The stuff with the Miz TV, the Miz and Mrs. set has been great. Daniel Bryan's been fantastic. Miz has been outstanding in his role. They've been picking at, you know, poking the bear at both of them, each other. They've sort of been going back and forth. The video packages detailing their long history for 8 years that they aired on SmackDown Live this past Tuesday was great.
Oh, it was tremendous.
And they've been really selling this matchup as a must-see attraction on this show.
I'm not even going to lie. This match is probably the top match on SmackDown right now because this is the one everybody wants to see. Like, I know there's a title match for SmackDown. I know there's multiple title matches for SmackDown, but this is the one everybody has been waiting for because Miz has been at Daniel Bryan ever since he retired, and they have done this so well between these two, and the fact that they've had that continuity and they've highlighted all that history between the two, and they're hyping this as 8 years in the making. Like, the fact that these two have hated each other for 8 years and now they're finally gonna settle it once and for all. Like, this is so perfectly done. And I love that they've built to this. I love that this has been a slow burn to end all slow burns.
But does this settle it is the question.
I hope not. I will take several more of these, please, because it's going to be a really good match.
So, Daniel Bryan winning this matchup, what does it do for Daniel Bryan? Not a whole lot. If it's a blow-off one-match feud, Daniel Bryan gets the win. But if they're going to go to another match, imagine how annoying The Miz will be if he gets the win over Daniel Bryan. Imagine if that was happening.
I want that to happen.
Because you think he's been annoying now?
Oh, God. Oh, imagine, God, can you imagine?
Imagine if he beat Daniel Bryan.
Lord!
Speaking of Daniel Bryan, for those wondering, he is on the verge of signing a brand new WWE contract.
Probably for a lot more money.
Yep. So, just so people are aware, he said on a recent interview that any day now, any week now, it will be signed. He expires on September 1st. If he hasn't signed, they've negotiated everything. He just has to sign the actual contract. It's probably all been agreed to.
It's all been agreed to. They probably have to get it all written up and get it over to him. I can speak. And I'm sure it's...
this weekend it gets done.
It gets done. They're going to get that taken care of if he hasn't taken care of it already. I would love to see this continue because, like I said, this is the hottest thing on SmackDown. This is one of the hottest things in the company because this has been so well done. And honestly, I would love to see Miz go over Daniel Bryan, and Daniel Bryan being in utter shock that the Miz beat him, and he just can't deal with it. Because you asked, what does this do for Daniel Bryan if he beats Miz? It doesn't really do anything, but I don't feel like this is one of those matches where it's he's going to get something out of this. This is literally, he's waited 3 years to beat the crap out of the Miz. Like, because he's been sidelined, right? So he's just had to deal with it. He's had to swallow that anger and that frustration. And he's just had to deal with, you know, the Miz's crap. And the Miz being up in his face. And, you know, he can't touch him. He can't do a thing about it. And now at last, after all this time, he's free to wrestle, which means he can beat the ever-living crap out of the Miz. And that's what Daniel Bryan gets out of this. He just gets to beat somebody up. And we're all going to be highly entertained when he does it. So that's really what Daniel Bryan gets out of it. He gets a win under his belt, and that's fantastic. But more so, he gets to beat the crap out of the Miz. We get to watch, and I think everybody goes home happy, except for Miz. Part of me wants to say this is a one match just because of the contract situation, because they burned through a lot of stuff to get to this point. But at the same time, I feel like they did burn through it to get him to Miz for SummerSlam. Like, a lot of the stuff he was doing previously was they weren't ready to kick off the Miz feud. They held that back. They waited for that. And now they've got it. And it's here, and it's built perfectly, and it's ready to go. So I really want to say Daniel Bryan, but I kind of want to see Miz win. I kind of want to see Maryse show up and screw. You know what I almost want? I almost want Brie and Maryse to get into it.
I don't know if I mentioned it on air, but the one thing I want to see is we go back to the Cena Nikki mocking the Miz and Maryse did. Have do it of Brie and Bryan. I would love to see that at some point.
I would love to see a tag match between the four if they can convince Maryse to do it. I don't know if Maryse wants to wrestle again post-baby, but she could. Who knows? I know Brie wants to get back in the ring. Like, she's been actively looking for a way to get back in the ring. This is a perfect way to do that. You don't necessarily have to have them do a lot. They can just sort of bump around a little bit, and then you have Miz and Daniel Bryan kind of finish it out. And I'm not trying to say that they can't work. It's just, you know, Maryse had to have surgery this year for the baby. She's probably not. She's fully healed, but she's not fully healed because they had to cut through muscle and everything. So that's still all working itself out. Brie's been training, but Brie hasn't been in a ring since Rumble? Mania?
Rumble.
Some Rumble? So she would have to work the kinks out. Maryse, I think, hasn't been in a ring since this time last year.
A little bit more. WrestleMania.
Actually, Mania. So
Mania 30, whatever, 3.
Yeah, so over a year at this point. So yeah, they'd have to work it all out. But I would love to see them build to a tag match either at the next pay-per-view or at Survivor Series between the four. And that's something that you could do is Maryse comes out, she screws with Bryan, costs Bryan the match, and then, you know, you build up, you could do the teasing with Miz and Maryse. You could have Brie get involved, then those videos happen, and then we just build to a match. I mean, that could be really, really sweet. But pick is Miz.
I pick the Miz. 8-ball picks Daniel Bryan.
We love Bryan. We really do. And I hope this isn't a one-match feud because it's the best thing they have.
No, that's why I'm picking the Miz. I want more of the feud. Because looking at the future, I don't see another place for Daniel Bryan at the moment because I don't think the main event for SmackDown is going to finish at SummerSlam. It's going to continue, so Daniel Bryan needs something to do. So why not continue to do the Miz?
Phrasing?
She's trying to figure out the phrasing I was doing. Just move on to the next one.
Okay, so going back to the match I skipped because I really want to talk about that one. My other favorite children, because the favorite child is not on this pay-per-view. What the hell? Where is Bray Wyatt? Why is he not on this show? Where is he?
There's a lot of big names out on this show.
But I want Bray Wyatt. He's been off too many pay-per-views this year. I want nice things for him. Damn it. Where is he?
On his back from this past Monday Night Raw losing.
Well, I mean, he does spend a lot of time on his back.
Anyway, the tag team titles are online. The B team and the Revival on the pre-show. I don't expect the Revival to win. I think they're going to keep rolling with this B team till they get squashed by the AOP or something.
Yeah.
Or some other team. I don't even know it's going to be AOP because AOP is sort of lost in the woods at this point. But
you could build AOP back up pretty easily. But yeah, I mean, at this point, the B team is one of the hottest things they have on Raw right now. just keep rolling with it until you have somebody that they basically hit the wall with. And yeah, I mean, I love the revival, but you have the BP team do what they do. They just luck into a win and they continue on this roll.
Okay. I'm going to throw this out there. This will not happen. If it happens, then you know they're listening. Say the B team win, right? Say the Undisputed Era loses at TakeOver. Monday Night Raw comes and the Undisputed Era shows up on Monday Night Raw and takes down the B team.
I'd be okay with that. I love Bo. Don't get me wrong. I love Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel, but if Undisputed Era showed up, yeah, bitch. Let's do it.
I even can go further where you could even have Undisputed Era show up and, you know, if we crown Roman Reigns as champion, you put Adam Cole versus Roman Reigns as the top program on Monday Night Raw.
Oh my God, the internet would lose its mind.
And then...
And not in a good way.
And then it could end up leading to Undisputed Era versus The Shield. I'm just future booking.
Can we get Dean Ambrose's hair back before we do The Shield? Please?
No.
What's left of Dean Ambrose's hair?
Anyway, we're going to get to Dean in a minute. I'm going B team.
I'm going B team.
8-Ball went with Revival. Going back, 8-Ball went with Daniel Bryan. Next.
Up next, we have Finn Balor taking on Baron Corbin in a rematch from the last pay-per-view.
Which means it's a rematch from the match that happened 3 weeks ago on Raw. Also, they're 50-50. Yeah. They're 50-50. Coin says Finn. Or my head says Finn on the 50-50.
Yeah, I want to go with Finn on this. I just, again, I don't like the little guy where it's like Baron's like, oh, well, you're little, so let's fight. That is such a stupid reason. Baron Corbin is way smarter than that. I mean, my God, he's finagled himself into Corporate Kane's job, essentially. So can we, like, give the dude a little credit and have him be, you know, just a little bit more of a dick beyond, I'm bigger than you. Please. Pretty please. With sugar on top. That would be wonderful. Right. And also Finn Balor deserves way better because Finn is awesome.
Baron's been having his... having the edge over Finn lately, so Finn gets the win here. April goes Finn. You go Finn?
I'll go Finn. Now, here's the question. Does the demon appear?
Hell no.
Hell no?
Hell no. No. They've moved past the demon for now. You shouldn't bring him out for a mid-card match on SummerSlam.
But it could be fun.
It's pointless. You're wasting the idea of the demon. That's just me.
Fine. Hey, William, if you're listening, Fortnite will be after this show. I'll tweet that to you, too, but... just as you're aware, so you're aware. We will be doing Fortnite, by the way, to everybody listening after the show. In some way, shape, or form. Don't know who's going to be here for it, but if everybody shows up later, all of us will be playing Fortnite. Which, by the way, I have had a banner day in Fortnite. I got 2 kills and 2 assists. I'm very proud of myself. I got a grenade launcher and just unleashed hell on people. It's great. Awesome. Up next in the what could actually be a sleeper match, we have Dolph Ziggler with Drew McIntyre taking on Seth Rollins, who has a recently released from prison Dean Ambrose with him for the Intercontinental Championship.
You mean he was released from the asylum? Get it?
Yeah.
Get
yeah.
it? Get it?
Yeah, didn't want to go there with it. A little it. Obvious.
Get it?
I...
Get it?
Yes!
But I'm asking you, get it?
Yes. Get it.
Oh, are you watching Teddy Bridgewater at the moment?
Yes.
There you go. That's one reason to watch the Jets.
Go Cards.
Anyway, we've seen this match. We've seen this match. We've seen this match. Seth Rollins wins this matchup as, once again, Intercontinental Champion.
Okay, but here's a question.
What?
What happens if Dean Ambrose turns on Seth Rollins?
Then we get Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose as a program for months on Raw.
Because we had Dean come back, right? Don't really know where Dean is mentally. He just comes back. After 9 months of being on the shelf, Seth has moved on without him. Roman has moved on without him, which you would expect them to do because he's been hurt. But, you know, say Seth never called, never visited, never cared, never did anything. Roman never called, never cared, never visited, anything like that. Dean really was left alone sans his wife because, you know, his wife was right there with him, which, by the way, she was adorable reacting to the way that he came back. Check it out. It's an extra, I think, on WWE.com. But... yeah. So say Dean's a little bitter about the fact that nobody outside of his wife cared and nobody came to visit him. And so say he decides to take that frustration out on, say, I don't know, Seth Rollins. Or say he gets a little overeager and he costs Seth Rollins the match and he beats up Dolph Ziggler.
He could, but I'm backing him. I need fantasy points, so I'm picking Seth Rollins.
I'm going to pick Seth Rollins, but I've been thinking about that since Ambrose came back. I'm like, what would happen if Dean Ambrose turns on Seth Rollins? What, that would kind of be the shoe being on the other foot, where Seth gets betrayed by Dean, whereas years ago, it was the other way around. He recently passed the betrayal date, not that long ago. So, yeah, it's just something I was thinking about, where it's like he comes back. Obviously, he's doing a much more aggressive character. He's not doing the happy-go-lucky Dean Ambrose that we all know and love. He's being more aggressive. He's being more essentially Shield Dean in the beginning. And yeah, it could be interesting. And he's got a long memory, so we'll see. But yeah, Seth Rollins.
8-ball goes Seth Rollins. 8-ball went with Finn Balor as well. All right, next.
Up next, we have Shinsuke Nakamura taking on... Is he broken? Is he woken?
Yeah.
He's taking on Jeff Hardy, so long as he's not Willow, for the U.S. Championship.
You're going to have creepy Randy Orton creepily stalking him like he did on SmackDown Live, probably at some point during this matchup. I'd say Shinsuke wins because of interference from Randy Orton, but then again, interference from Randy Orton could sort of maybe cost Shinsuke Nakamura accidentally, and Jeff Hardy somehow comes out with the championship. It's an either or. Brain says Shin, and fantasy team says Jeff. So I'm going Jeff. Just pick Shinsuke. That's all you want to do. I know.
Shinsuke, it's not going to happen, but Shinsuke. No, I want nice things for Shinsuke Nakamura. Why can't he have them?
Because I want fantasy points. That's why.
Why do they have to hurt everyone I love? Why? Why does this have to be a thing? Can't get Bray Wyatt on the goddamn show even. Damn, y'all.
Shinsuke is picked by the 8-ball. Who are you picking?
Shinsuke.
Okay, what's next? There really isn't much to this. The real feud's been Jeff versus Randy, and that's not even the match. So anyway.
I feel like Randy is going to cost somebody this match. Randy will get involved. He's being Mr. Creepy Pants. So we'll just have to see how that goes. So hopefully Randy costs, you know, Jeff in favor of Shinsuke. That would be nice. Randy, you could do me a solid after you burn down the compound. Just saying. You owe me for that. Because that was a bad, bad night. You made my cult leader cry. And what happened? You betrayed him. And somehow he ended up getting thrown in a lake and becoming some crazy man's bitch. So, you know, and I've had to endure that for months. So just saying, you kind of owe me. So if you do the thing, greatly appreciate it.
You don't have to do the thing. You can let Jeff Hardy get me fantasy points. Just saying. Next.
Do the thing, Randy. Do the thing.
Next.
Up next, in what should be a one-on-one, but it's a triple threat, so whatever. It is Carmella and Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair mixing it up for the SmackDown Women's Championship. I get why this is a triple threat. Champion does not have to be pinned to lose, so it could be very simply Becky pins Charlotte. Or Charlotte pins Becky and Carmella loses her title. She stays strong, and then you can do the one-on-one match later for the title.
This has been one of the best built feuds programs on the SummerSlam show. It's right up there with the other women's matchup on this show that has been built really, really well. I've enjoyed the interactions between Charlotte and Becky. I've enjoyed the interactions between Becky and Carmella. The three of them had a good interaction on SmackDown Live. Carmella is owning her style right now. She is owning her craft. I've been saying for months it's going to be a shame when they take the belt off her. I'm glad they did not put the belt on us. I would be okay with Becky Lynch winning this belt at SummerSlam.
Same. I think everybody would. They have really been building this to be Becky's win. So logic applies that it's not going to be Becky's win, but I think we all really would love to see her get another run with that title, and I would be fine if that happened. But yeah, Carmella has come into her own. She has been doing her best work. She did a wonderful job as the top heel on SmackDown, and I hope that continues. I hope now that Charlotte's back, that she doesn't get overlooked, that Becky doesn't get overlooked, that the Iconics don't get overlooked, that a lot of the women who have kind of been filling those shoes for Charlotte and have gotten more of that spotlight because she was gone continue to get that, because we've seen some wonderful things since they sort of took the gas pedal off of Charlotte and off of Asuka, and I'd love to see that continue. But I don't know if that'll happen, and it probably will, but just, yeah. Carmella has just been wonderful.
what I can see happening is Becky is close to victory. Charlotte moves her out of the way and takes Becky's victory. I could see that happening.
And then you can do Becky versus Charlotte.
You can. And then Carmella can get her rematch in between, and then you do Becky and Charlotte at Evolution.
I'd be okay with that.
But I'm going Becky Lynch, though.
Yeah, I'm going with my heart. Becky Lynch.
8-Ball went with Charlotte Flair.
Bring it home, Becky. Bring it home. So, in what could influence the main-ish event of the night, basically Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar, we have the Money in the Bank briefcase on the line as Braun Strowman takes on Kevin Owens. And if Braun gets disqualified in any way, shape, or form, he loses the briefcase. Which, you know, since Kevin is buddy-buddy with Jinder and that whole crew, that, you know, that's what's totally gonna happen, probably, maybe, I don't know, we'll see.
Braun.
Yeah, I want Braun.
No offense to Kevin, Braun. That's it.
I really just kind of want Kevin to come out, Braun to come out. Braun takes out Jinder and Sunil and just like beats the crap out of Kevin really quick, slams him down, 1-2-3, Braun Strowman's your victor. Like basically Braun smash everybody and we just move on from there.
Yeah, it peaked last month. It's sort of dragging on now.
Get on with it.
8-Ball won with Braun Strowman. Next.
Up next, speaking of smashing, the Bludgeon Brothers will take on the New Day for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships.
Give them 15 minutes and you take the handcuffs off. This will be a great match.
Oh God, this would be fantastic if they did that. It will still be good, but yeah, just stand back, y'all. Let this happen. I mean, this should be very, very good. The New Day has, you know, a reputation that precedes them, and the in terms of Harper and Rowan, they've been gelling, they have bonded, they're one, and they have gotten so much better. Not to say that they were bad before, but you've seen just in terms of their communication and them being able to work together, that it's there. They're clicking on all cylinders right now. So I kind of want my smashy sons to win everything, all the things. Keep the titles.
They don't need to do a title change. They could do a title change. New Day doesn't need the belts. Bludgeons retain the belts because it's, you need another team. You can't, you don't want the New Day winning. You don't want the Usos winning the belts. Leave it on the Bludgeons so you find that next team to take the belts off the Bludgeons.
Here's the thing. You can easily build Sanity back up and you can have the Bludgeons waiting in the wings for Sanity. And then you can do Bludgeons versus Sanity, which I think is something we would all very much like to see. So if that could be a thing, very much appreciated.
I'd be okay with the Bar taking out the Bludgeon Brothers. I'd be fine with that. That's just me, though.
I don't think Sheamus' neck would be okay with that, but...
No, I don't think so, but I think Harper and Sheamus would be really cool.
Harper and Sheamus would be fun. Rowan and Sheamus would be fun. Just throw Sheamus in there with the other two. Cesaro on the outside cheering. Just let those three just beat each other up. Rough each other up a little bit. That would be fun.
That'd be fine by me. What's next?
Up next, the WWE Championship is on the line as your longest reigning SmackDown champion takes on Samoa Joe. AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe. We are going to be blessed Sunday to see this. Take the handcuffs off. Let these boys go.
No,
this should be entertaining.
No kicks to the nuts.
Please, no kicks to the nuts. AJ, for the love of God, go to an athletic store. Get you one of the supportive cups, you know, to protect the family jewels, even though I'm pretty sure he's done having kids. You know, just protect all the things down there, like, that y'all have, because I don't have that. And, you know, just secure all that up so you don't get kicked in the balls again, and you get disqualified. Just saying.
You never thought you would see it in a WWE ring for the WWE Championship. But here we are. AJ Styles, Samoa Joe. Give them 20 minutes. They will steal the show. You give them no handcuffs, they will completely steal the show. People who would be worried about NXT TakeOver having the best matches of the night, AJ Styles and Samoa Joe, if given the free reign to do whatever they want, will make sure they are the best match of SummerSlam weekend, without question.
Yeah, if you have never seen these two fight, never, ever, ever, ever seen these two go, you are in for a treat, an absolute treat. I think the last time I saw them fight was probably Impact, maybe.
Yeah, it was Impact.
So, yeah, this is gonna be fun. This is gonna be a lot of fun. And I'm going to be selfish. I'm going for points because, god damn it, Joe is the one holding the team down right now. Joe for the win at SummerSlam.
It's time to crown Joe a champion in WWE. It is time to put that belt on Samoa Joe. It is time for Samoa Joe to be WWE champion Think about that. Samoa Joe wins. 8-ball goes Samoa Joe. I don't know if I mentioned it, but Bludgeon Brothers was 8-ball. I don't remember, so I'll just repeat so in turn can grab them all. And then now to what I think should be the main event of this show. Say it.
Ronda Rousey taking on Alexa Bliss for the Raw Women's Championship. Alexa is gonna die, y'all. She's gonna die for our sins, and this will be fun to watch.
This is gonna be hella fun. This should be the main event, because despite whatever you say about Roman Reigns, the reaction will not be what they want. Ronda Rousey winning will be the reaction that you want. That will be the best way to close out this show. It'd be your feel-good moment, and it would set the stage for what is to come this fall. She is your star. She is your biggest attraction. Your biggest attraction should always be your main event. That's Ronda Rousey.
I know people aren't fond of her. I know people have issues with her views, and that's fine. I have no problem with that. So there will be people who will not be happy about her winning, but I think for the most part, you're right. It would be tremendous to see them close out the show, to see the women main event the pay-per-view, and have her win the title. I don't think she holds it long, but...
she will be champion till WrestleMania.
Okay.
If not longer.
And I know, and here's the thing, there's a lot of people who are complaining that she doesn't deserve the opportunity she's being given, and she's acknowledged that. There's no rhyme or reason about that, but they have to strike while the iron is incredibly hot with her. And right now, there's a lot of focus on her in the company. There's a lot of focus on her outside the company. Every time there is a WWE pay-per-view, the next day, all the sports headlines are Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey and WWE. So they're making sure that they're keeping that focus on her. And when they crown her champion, that is gonna go everywhere that she's now the Raw Women's Champion.
They're gonna be in New York City. Where is all the media? Where are they gonna send their champion? All over New York. She is the face of this company. She is their biggest attraction, no matter what you say about Roman Reigns. Ronda Rousey is your biggest attraction, and that's what sells. She should be your champion. She should be your focus. She should be your main event. She should walk out at SummerSlam champion.
And I don't think they have her for very long. I think they only have her for 2 years.
Two, 3 years.
So again, it's like they're trying to strike while the iron is really, really hot with her. They don't want to drop the ball with her. They don't want to miss the chance. Now is the time to put the title on her. Go ahead, do it. It's one of your big four. She carries it till WrestleMania, and we see where we go from there. I think it'll be really good for her to have it, because it's that strong presence in the women's division. And the question is, does she bring the four horsewomen up?
No.
And she forms her own little girl group?
No.
Like what all happens with her? There's a ton of potential there.
There's a lot of potential. You got a lot of things to come, but it all starts putting that belt on her, going through challenger after challenger after challenger. Let her become something special. Make her run memorable.
Let the good times roll.
So we have a new follower on the Twitch channel. So there you go.
Hi, thank you for following.
Get your name in a second.
I was like, oh, hi, Tigger. Like, that was really aptly timed that it's like you were sitting here talking about Ron, and then all of a sudden it's like, let the good times roll. It's like, oh, wow, you had the queued up. I'm impressed. Wait. No, we didn't. No. Never mind.
Thanks to Damajane for following us on the Twitch channel.
Hi, Damajane. Thank you for following.
Yeah, and SummerSlam will be fun.
SummerSlam should be a lot of fun.
8-ball picked Ronda Rousey. This is going to be a hell of a show. It's going to be a long show, but guess what? It's SummerSlam. It'll be worth it all. Simply put, make sure you go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Tweet us at WildTalkRadio, at RackRadioShow, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, or facebook.com/RackRadioShow if you'd like to join our Pick'em Challenge for bragging rights on this show. So there you go on that.
All right. So we're going to break again form, and we are going to go ahead and do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So my tweet of the week is brought to you by Wendy's because that's all I have is Wendy's. So, yeah. So up first we have Landon. Yo, Wendy's, I'm low-key offended you didn't tell me you started serving chicken tenders SMH. You just gonna act like I didn't need to know about the deliciousness? I thought we were closer than that. Wendy's replies, okay, we goofed. We meant to tell everyone we had chicken tenders. We just weren't loud enough. So in a yelling tone, which I'm not gonna yell, we have chicken tenders. Chicken tenders. We have them. They are very good. Steak and Shake. When your friends suggest going to Wendy's, that's when things get awkward. Wendy's. Oh, hey, Shake and Fake. I think you dropped this, and it's the at symbol. Maybe leave the subs to the sandwich shops and leave cheeseburgers to us. Ouch.
Damn.
Wendy's. I love Wendy's social media coordinator. I have no idea who they are, but I love them so much. They're so goddamn sassy. And TJ Byers tweets, I bet Wendy's website didn't crash today at Amazon, hashtag Prime Day. And Wendy's goes, when our website breaks, at least you get a fun game to play. Wendy's.com/404.
Oh.
Which if you go to that link, they do indeed have a game you can play. It's an 8-bit Burger Time game with the little Wendy. That's hilarious. Oh my god. I love that they put that out there so much. Oh, okay, you use the arrows. Got it.
Okay. What else you got?
That's all I got.
That's all you got?
That's all. It's been a busy week.
That's all you got? Damn. All right. So it starts off with a visual that I'm going to send you here in the group, in our chat. Someone goes, nice to Tyler, nice ring attire, new ring attire for Tyler Breeze, and it's a little, you know, rainbow skirt and everything like that. He goes, what?
Why is she dressed up like Rainbow Dash?
Because it's a new attire for Tyler Breeze. Pretty goes. For when I join the New Day, right?
You know, honestly, they would adopt him. They would so adopt him for Woods.
Woods would adopt him.
Woods has already adopted him. They're just waiting to induct him. But yeah, I have little doubt that the three of them have already discussed this. And whenever Breeze wants to come in, he's good to go.
So someone asked Kevin Nash, I wonder what Nash would do if he returned at SummerSlam. Kevin Nash replied, tear my quad.
Oh my god, he knows. I love that.
Okay. Samoa Joe, currently watching everyone in competition at being the best at trying not to offend everyone else. Also, this post is guaranteed to offend someone. You know, because of assumptions.
I love him.
I see what you did there, Joe.
He's so sassy. It's great.
And
yay, the football game's over. I can turn it off now. Thank God.
There's more football on NFL Network.
Okay.
I think. And finally, Dr. Lupo. Of course, I would be the guy to have the scanner see something suspicious in the front center of my pants at the airport. The man with the rubber gloves was surprisingly gentle.
Oh, poor Lupo. Poor Lupo. That's super awkward. Which, by the way, if you guys don't know, he's announcing, I think, the summer skirmish tomorrow?
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
Oh. So now, at 11 o'clock at night, they are going to show the Eagles versus the Patriots here.
Oh, they're doing the replay of the game? Oh, never mind, I don't need to say that again.
Well, I'll watch it because, you know, it's the Super Bowl winning Eagles, right?
Yeah.
The guys that won the Super Bowl taking on the New England Patriots. Should be fun, guys. So, all right. When we come back, we are going to be doing WWE NXT and we will be joined by the analyst TJ Omega and the assistant to the assistant to the assistant.
Regional analyst.
Let's get his title right. Kane Kittens, a.k.a. the intern. So you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cigs. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of me for time. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking. Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy in slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, you fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway.
They're not open.
What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Can I get a pack of Camel Light?
Hell yeah. Oh my god. All right. We're safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. That's because I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street. Somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarette and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... about to cloud by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live... midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, y'all, you want to get social with the Rack? Follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/rackradioshow.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in me. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, you're gonna put something on that list. Why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
You'll never get free, lamb to the slaughter. What you gonna do when there's blood in the water? The price of your greed is your son and your daughter. What you gonna do when there's blood in the water?
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at GearWork.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. We had a little technical malfunction there, just a little bit. Thanks, Comcast. So sorry about that, everybody, but we are back. And we're trying to gather everybody. Yeah, it's like I'm sitting here and it's like all of a sudden the sound just cuts out and I'm like
I'm sitting here going, why is it turning red? Why is everything turning red? What the hell? Like nothing got reset, nothing changed. It just wanted to sort of drop for a minute.
Like I saw Twitch die and I was like, oh crap.
And I'm sitting here going, like, what the hell? Like, I'm waiting for things to go through so we can do this portion of the show. And it's just going through and going through. It's like, oh, it's not working. That would explain a lot of things on why certain things weren't working. But hey, it's all working out better in the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Live radio, y'all. Live radio. You gotta love it. You just really gotta love it. It's so awesome. But, you know what else we gotta love? We are talking NXT TakeOver. I'm ecstatic, because this is gonna be a really good show, y'all. And, on top of it, we aren't alone to talk about it. We have guests, y'all.
The NXT analyst, TJ Bellomega.
I'm a man with a brand.
Hi.
Hi.
And?
I just love the big intro and the pomp and circumstances.
From the southwest corner of the prison, the human meat shield, who may die before this intro is up. The assistant to the assistant NXT analyst. He's dead now. He was and will forever be the intern Kane Kitten.
I did not just take the L, okay?
We need to update that intro because the prison is gone.
I know, yeah. I know. It's an old intro.
The prison's gone. I last longer in games now.
My goodness. We're out of date. But yes, I'm sorry, Omega, you were saying?
I just love all the pomp and circumstance of the big introduction. Just pop in. Yo.
All right, you say that one's... All right, fine. We'll have to do a new one for him next time, I guess. Okay.
God, the assistant to the assistant's already gotten three.
I mean, we can go old school.
No. I hate you.
The assistant to next, the analyst. No days off. From thinking about all red everything, the intern Kane Kittens.
You know, half of that intro is great.
I know the second.
And then there's the other half.
I know the second.
Yeah, the front half is a little weak.
Yeah, it needs a little.
You guys suck.
I'm just curious, Brent. What are you going to do if Becky wins the title and Omega gets all the points for it?
I don't care. Becky still gets the title. My girl still wins.
Okay. All right.
All right. Let's get into the show.
All right. So because we want to do Fortnite's after, because yes, we are doing Fortnite's after. For anybody that's listening and interested, I already got a tweet about it. Squad is here. We're going to go around and just, like, hopefully screw stuff up in Fortnite. We'll see. We're going to talk about NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, which emanates this Saturday night WWE Network.
Starting at 7 p.m. Eastern.
That was the one that started at 7.
They both start at 7, but yes.
Okay. All right. So, there are 5 matches on this card. It had to change slightly because Aleister Black got hurt. Tears of sadness on that.
Who done it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Not you. There's a whodunit.
No, yeah, it's like the way that they've set this up is perfectly. Somebody beat up Aleister Black in the highly dangerous Full Sail parking lot because that is a really dangerous place, and there were multiple people around who did it.
And
nobody knows.
NXT, they showed you every single person. Here was this person. Here was this person. And if you didn't know who they were by their faces, here's a little arrow pointing and their name pointing to who they were. Here, here, and 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 here. Everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's like YouTube clickbait.
Yeah. You're here, 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 here. Everywhere.
I think it was the ninjas.
The ninjas? Ninja was there?
Joe moved on. The ninjas had to
take
someone.
Oh, those ninjas. Oh, the ninjas. Those ninjas. Not the ninja. I got it.
Not the ninja, but ninjas.
I mean, he can take out 31 people all by himself. I mean, that is a thing that can happen.
Oh, Jesus, that was terrifying.
Anyway. Let's get into the show.
So up first, the potential sleeper match on this show, either sleeper good, sleeper bad, nobody's really sure, but we have the Velveteen Dream taking on EC3. 3.
You mentioned... Go ahead.
I just love how they keep showing them flirting. We got to see their first date. I mean, I'm here for this.
You mentioned Sleeper possibly could have. You look at this whole entire card and you go, what's the weak point? Could it be this match? Could this be the weak point of the show?
Dude, if this is the weakest thing on this show, this SummerSlam is going to have some serious competition.
Because you look at this entire card, there's nothing weak on it. Usually there's a tag match that goes, okay, that'd just be alright. Like, you had All Thirst of Pain sometimes and whatever, and the matches turn out really good. But you look at the tag match on this show, it's Undisputed and Mustache Mountain. They've had 2 match of the year type matches so far. Just the 4 of them. That's not going to be your weak point. The women are not going to be the weak point. Tommaso and Johnny aren't. Adam and Ricochet aren't. These guys, I mean, Dream and EC3, they're not the greatest workers, but they're the weak point. But doesn't mean it won't be damn good, right?
Oh, this is going to be... If this is your weak point, this is going to be fantastic. I don't know how their styles are going to match up in the ring, but personality-wise, this is going to be an entertaining-as-hell match. Just with the cockiness of EC3 and just... Velveteen being Velveteen, it's gonna, like I said, no matter what, it's just gonna be entertaining from start to finish watching these guys just interact with each other for 10-15 minutes.
So there is a very good possibility we're going to see EC3's face on some part of the Dream's
body.
Oh, God.
I hope so.
Would it be on the crotch? Will it be on the ass? You never know.
They're flirting, so, you know, that's a quality way to flirt, is you put your... crush's face on your dick, I guess. I don't know.
It's all possible.
That's a man thing. I don't know how that works. One of you two's gonna have to explain that, because ladies don't do that.
Even in the intro, Kinkins keeps getting shat on. Well, you know, that's the running joke. just saying. Anyway, getting to this matchup. There's gonna be a lot of showmanship, a lot of taunting, some pretty solid wrestling. The Dream's going to try to do something stupid, because we all know that's the Dream. It's what he does. Mm-hmm. He always finds some point in this matchup to do something outside the box. Because he's that athletic, he figures he can pull it off.
And we mean outside the box. The man isn't even in the same warehouse.
Because they're now in the performance center. They left the warehouse. Long time ago. Catch up.
Yeah. Same warehouse where Dixie has her office now.
So what's your take, Omega, on this one? Could it be a sleeper? Could it be the weak point just based on the show we have?
Oh, here's the thing. It's absolutely going to be the weak point of the night, but it's still going to be awesome. We have 2 extremely solid, entertaining workers here that can put on either a psychological match or a hilarious match, just depending on whatever mood they are in at the moment.
And the crowd's going to enjoy anything they do.
Oh, yeah, the crowd's eating up both of these guys.
In terms of who goes over, where's your headline?
Who needs it more is, I think, the better question.
I don't think either needs it right now.
But has Dream really won a big profile match other than beating Cassius Ohno a few months ago?
No, he has not. He's definitely due for a win, and my heart wants to say Velveteen. Okay. At the same time, he's so ridiculously over, I think he could lose 100 times this year alone. And I don't think it would hurt. I don't think it would hurt the heat he's getting.
Yes, Brent.
To me, when we talk about who needs it more, I mean, Velveteen needs a win just in general. Like you said, he has the win over Ohno, but other than that, he lost to Ricochet in a highly entertaining bout in which, yeah, he tried to do something over his head. It cost him. Rookie mistake. He didn't win the ladder match. He didn't beat Black, although that's what put him on the map. He needs a win, but honestly, I think EC3 needs it more, especially for the kind of character that he's portraying. Being the cocky son of a bitch he is, being the top 1%, he really, I think, needs a win here to take that step and just, you know, keep that character going. Or otherwise, EC3, I think, is going to just kind of languish in NXT mid-card hell until he can pick up a big win.
And he hasn't really had the opportunity to really get a big win, because his only really showcase matchup was, what, the North American Championship?
There was the North American Championship, and then there was the tag match from the British show.
Which set this match up, but it really wasn't like a big singles match. He wasn't on the last takeover, so this is his first singles opportunity on a takeover, so you would assume he should shine and get a win maybe, Lindsay?
It's hard. It's really hard to pick who's going to win this match because it could go either way. I feel like Velveteen is established enough that even if he loses, he'll be okay. Because if he puts on a performance like he did with Aleister Black, like he did with Cassius Ohno, he's going to be fine. He will be just fine. To me, I feel like Ethan has just needs it a little bit more simply because he hasn't been showcased as much. They've sort of held him back. They've kept him in reserve. We've not seen him wrestle a whole heck of a lot. So my heart is going with Ethan. He just needs the win. He just needs it to me. I mean, it's like I love Velveteen and I would love to see Velveteen win the match, but I feel like Velveteen is fine without this win. But I could be wrong on that. I don't know, but I want to go with Ethan, and that's just because I really do love Ethan.
All right, round the table. Lindsay, Ethan, Carter III.
Yes.
Omega.
Velveteen.
Intern.
The 1% EC3.
Going EC3. 8-Ball agrees with Omega going Velveteen Dream.
8-Ball, you whore. Up next, we have the NXT Tag Team Championship on the line as Undisputed Era is taking on the lads. Mustache Mountain, my sons. My sons are coming over, y'all. Actually, they're here in the States right now to take on Undisputed Era. We've seen this match 2 or 3 times already. I will watch it again.
There's nothing you can say to this matchup other than it's going to be freaking awesome. That's all you really can say.
Mm-hmm.
Some people going to die in this match. And it's going to be glorious to watch them kill each other.
Well, mostly internet marks, I think.
It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be absolutely beautiful. So I don't think there's a lot of analysis we can do on this. I mean, it's just, it's British Strong Style, Tyler Bate, Trent Seven taking on Kyle O'Reilly and
Roderick Strong.
Roderick Strong. I knew there was a Strong in there somewhere. Thank you. My brain just went poof for a second. There's not a whole lot you can say about this other than if you have not seen this, where have you been? They've done it 2 times already. They did it once on the British show. They did it again on NXT, and it was fabulous both times. I have little doubt, especially since they're not going to have handcuffs on, that this is going to be superb.
So we all know WWE style booking is 50-50. This has been a case of 50-50 booking working the right way. Wonder why? They've been giving us classic matchups every time out. If you're doing 50-50 booking and they're classic matches, then it works. When you're just doing run-of-the-mill matches for 50-50 booking that no one cares about, there's your issue. They've had 2 fantastic tag team matches. This is going to be another classic. This could
there's 50-50 booking that is about just making sure like neither one of them looks like they're losing out,
which we see all the time.
And then there's 50-50 booking where it looks like, you know, they are evenly matched, and at any point, one is good enough to beat the other.
This could be feud of the year.
Maybe. I think something else in this card.
Yeah, yeah. I don't. Yeah, that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No. Something else here.
It can be up there. It can be, you know, like tag
feud of the year.
But there's a definite other feud that takes his hands down.
Yeah, when the era starts throwing wedding rings, let me know.
Well, just wait for one to get down the other. Anyway, moving on. There's nothing really could break down other than just making a pick. Brent?
Based on what may happen in another match, I'm going to stick with Undisputed. I'm going to go points here.
Omega.
Right now, I'm thinking Undisputed.
Lindsay.
I want to say the lads, but it's going to be Undisputed. This is, I feel like, another way to slowly inject the British brand into the main brand to get the name out there, to get their names out there, to basically have people familiar with them. So when NXT UK does eventually launch, people are going to know who British Strong Style are, because again, Pete Dunne, British Strong Style, Tony Storm, probably Jenny, and a few others are going to be your main stars for that show. So they're getting their names out there. They're making sure that people know who they are. It's a brand awareness thing. So yeah, as much as I would love to see Bate and Seven pick up the titles again, I just don't think it's feasible for them right now, because that would involve probably bringing them over to the States permanently, and that's not going to happen. So Undisputed Era.
It should
be fantastic.
I would totally go Mustache Mountain just for the theory of Undisputed Era showing up on Monday Night Raw and destroying the B team and also destroying Roman Reigns. That said, I'm going Undisputed Era retains their tag team titles on this one. So did 8-Ball.
I don't feel like it's time to take the titles off of them.
No, it's not.
I really don't, because you're either going to have them just lose them, or they're going to completely implode when Fish comes back.
I was going to say, when's Fish due back again? That's when I think it comes unhinged.
Also, the act in general, the Undisputed Era act, works better with championships to brag about.
Yeah. They need that shiny, shiny, pretty, pretty.
Yeah.
Speaking of shiny, shiny, pretty, pretty, up next, we have the North American Championship on the line with the other part of Undisputed Era, Adam Cole, your North American champion, taking on Ricochet in what should be a hell of a match.
This should be Ricochet's breakout singles performance in WWE NXT. I don't know how far this goes. I don't know if it's the right time to put a bell on Ricochet. I just know this matchup will be fantastic, Omega.
The if factor here is that I've seen a couple reports of Ricochet nursing a little bit of an injury. It depends on just how severe that is. I don't think it's that severe if he's still wrestling, of course.
Yeah, but there's talk that he may need a little bit of time to heal up, though.
At the same time, it's NXT, and that's not a difficult thing to give him.
True.
This one should be absolutely insane. I mean, you got two of the best indie workers in the business going at it here on a very big stage.
Do you open the show with this?
Yeah.
No.
It's this or the tag?
I would be more inclined for the tag.
Yeah.
Yeah, this feels like middle of the card, and then you put on Shayna and Kairi and go home with the championship match.
Brent, what are your thoughts on this one?
Shut up and take my money. No. I think part of it comes down to, like Omega brought up, how injured is Ricochet? I mean, it could just be a little nagging thing, and it's just kind of like, okay, it's not so bad. He had the great performance against Velveteen for the singles match. This is his first real title shot. Adam Cole, and I'm not doing the other part
do
of
it.
That.
No, do it. Do it. If you didn't say it, you could just said Adam Cole and you've been fine, but you brought it up. So you got to say whatever. It if you bring it up.
Anyway, Adam Cole, the idea, I think he's such a smarmy heel that having the belt with him just works. And even the initial challenge that Ricochet made to him, I think just, it shows what Adam Cole can really do. I think Ricochet is going to put on a great match. I don't know if it's time for him quite yet. I think let him chase a little bit longer. Let Cole be the cocky son of a bitch some more. And then have him take the belt and see what happens with Cole after that. Because either you could move him up and have him face someone like, you know, if he wins this match, Gargano, or put him against Black again, or what have you. And then you can have Ricochet kind of hold that Intercontinental title for NXT for the, you know, whoever's going to set up for the future NXT title runs. But I just think for right now, Cole needs to hang on to the belt a little longer, and then come the match at Survivor's, or the takeover at Survivor Series, that's when he can drop it.
Where's your head leaning, Lindsay?
I feel like Ricochet needs this one because it's almost time to point Adam Cole at the main title. Again, it's another one of those cases of you really have to strike while the iron is hot, and the iron is hot with him. The iron is hot with Ricochet. You go in, they do a fantastic 15-minute match, they burn the house down, Ricochet comes out on top. Because it's like he's really, as much as Undisputed Era works with gold, you can't have them win all the time. But I feel like whoever comes out of Gargano and Ciampa, they're going to point Cole at some point, especially with Black's injury. You need somebody to fill that void. Adam Cole's that next step. Unless you take Ricochet and you point Ricochet at Ciampa, if Ciampa wins. So it's hard to call this one because I feel like whoever doesn't win moves on to that next level, if that makes sense. I just really kind of want to see Ricochet win it, but I just don't think he's going to. It's so hard to pick. Like, I want Ricochet, but I know it's going to be Adam Cole, you know?
I get you. It is a tough one to call. That's why I'm going to throw it to Omega for his first pick.
Son of...
You ass.
It is a really, really hard call. In my mind right now, I don't think Cole's quite done with the belt. I feel like Ricochet is definitely one. Aside from the fact that he might need to heal up a little bit, he's one of those that just, he gets over so much just by sheer athleticism. I don't think the belt does him any favors. And we just said it already, the Undisputed Era just works better when they have a championship to brag about. And right now, they've got a lot of gold.
I'm going to go Ricochet with Adam Cole screaming for weeks. That's my belt. That's my belt. That's my belt. Brian.
Like I said a little bit ago, I think I'd love to see Ricochet with the belt. I think he would do great, you know, the king having a title, but I just think Cole needs it a little longer. And I think if you wait until the Survivor Series takeover, have Cole lose his belt and possibly start to set up the tag team, you can have that little bit of dissension in the ranks and him trying to pull everything together and keep the family there while they're coming apart at the seams, which I think could give a new dimension to the whole Undisputed Era.
I don't think you need to break them apart. I would bring them up as a whole unit on the main roster, but that's...
Oh, no.
That's just me.
Well, not break them apart, but maybe lose Roderick, because he's kind of the fourth piece that was added due to Fish's injury.
I think he works in there. Lindsay, who you got?
I'm sticking with Adam Cole. I mean, I just, as much as I want Ricochet to win, I have a feeling about Gargano and Ciampa, although I could be entirely wrong about it. And right now, you don't need to take the title off of Adam Cole. He's just too good with it. He's just too good in general. But I mean, he's in a perfect position. It's a great spot for him, and he's doing wonderful things with the title, and they're not quite done with him just yet, but I would suspect he goes up very, very soon, because he really didn't need to be down there long, but we'll see. Adam Cole.
Eight ball goes Adam Cole. I don't know if I read off Undisputed for eight ball for the tag one, but there it is.
You did.
All right. NXT Women's Championship, Lindsay.
Yes, a rematch from the Mae Young Classic. Kairi Sane taking on Shayna Baszler. This should be fun. This hasn't been as strongly built, but it's still going to be good.
Yeah, Shayna's been bullying people, and it's sort of been a little bit solid of a booking. The contract signing was really good between the two. Shayna says this is not a rematch from Mae Young Classic. It's a rematch from when Shayna beat Zayn a few months ago, whatever it was. This should be good. I think Kairi Sane has improved a lot in NXT. Not to say she wasn't a great wrestler before, but it's like she's found herself in NXT. She's found her groove in NXT now. I think I like what they were showing on NXT this week, where she's showing a more aggressive side. I like that they've added a submission to her moveset. It should be a lot of fun, Brent.
Yeah, I like you said, just that added little dimension of Kairi stepping up after Shayna said she didn't have the killer instinct and kind of being like, oh yeah, three insane elbows, pulling her up from the pin, and yeah, just having that little bit of a mean streak. I think to me, and this could just be me, I'm not a huge fan of the bully stereotype that they constantly go to with some people. I think with Shayna, I mean, it's a natural thing to have her as that with the MMA background, but there isn't a lot when it comes to her character-wise that, you know, there's no real chinks in the armor. She just kind of goes in, bullies people, and her whole shtick is, oh yeah, she'll find that weakness, wear you down, and it's over. The one thing I liked about the last takeover is when she faced Nikki, you saw something different from her because she just didn't know how to handle the nutball. You know, you'd punch her in the mouth, she'd laugh, and you kind of go, wait, what the hell's going on? And it just seemed like they were building a new part of her character. But then for this feud, they just kind of went back to, oh yeah, she's the bully.
Oh my God, thoughts?
This feels like it's been building for a long time. Like, I've kind of waited for Kairi to kind of break out and be what she was supposed to be after the Mae Young Classic last year. This feels like she's finally getting into the position she was supposed to be before with that kind of push. You know, it's the same kind of thing where we kind of feel like the winner of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal never amounts to anything. It's just something for them to do. I didn't want that to happen with the Mae Young Classic as well, because it's such a long run tournament. You know, we saw the same thing happen with the Cruiserweight Classic, you know, where what has the winner done since then? Do we remember who TJP is?
Yeah, he's too good for 205 Live. He wants to be a heavyweight or something.
Well, no. But this does make me happy that they're coming through with this. You know, it's kind of perfect that it is a potential rematch, or yes, potential. But it's a rematch from the finals for the women's title. This feels like the natural crowning of Kairi. Like, I think Baszler has been finding a really good foot on NXT. I think she's kind of figured out where her role should be. But this just feels like such a perfect opportunity, especially with the Mae Young Classic coming up again.
Lindsay?
I feel like this is Kairi's match to win. I feel like Shayna has kind of run her course as champion, that they've maybe dropped the ball on her just a little bit, and you just sort of need to bring her back up. She's better when she chases, and it's Kairi's time. You know, you've got the Mae Young Classic coming up. You can easily do the rematch at Evolution between the two. It's not a problem. And yeah, I mean, it's like, it's just, to me, Shayna's not really going anywhere. And also Shayna doesn't, like you said, doesn't know what to do when she comes up against somebody that isn't afraid of her. Right, it's easier for her to go in the back and pick on, you know, Tegan Knox and all the others. Scottish wifey, Welsh wifey, you know, Kiwi wifey, you know, everybody. You know, go in the back and pick on who she feels are the weaker girls, but when you come up against the girls that are like Nikki Cross, are like Kairi Sane, who are not going to take her shit, and in some cases, they're going to laugh about it. She, like a bully, she doesn't know what to do. Because her first response is, okay, I'm going to tease you, and if that doesn't work, I'm going to punch and kick you, and if that doesn't work, well, we're screwed. So she's coming up against that again in Kairi Sane. And Kairi Sane has done what really nobody else in NXT's managed to really do, which is beat Shayna Baszler. She did it at the Mae Young Classic, and Shayna knows it, and Kairi knows it. So it's like, yeah. She's not afraid of you because she's beaten you, and she can beat you again because she has the track record to prove that she can beat you. So I'd like to see Kairi Sane with the title just because it would be a nice completion to her win last year. And also it's kind of for her getting to be like a sort of Ember Moon situation where they've almost missed the bus on her a little bit, just a little bit. Like, you really should have done it last year, but you didn't. So now's the time. Go ahead, do it. Crown a new champion and have Shayna Chase going into Evolution, because you can just build in the rematch right there and do a conclusion to the feud.
So you're going Shayna? I mean, you're going Kairi Sane?
I'm going Kairi Sane, yeah.
Brent, you're going?
I'm going to go Sane.
Omega, you're going?
Kairi Sane.
Shayna Baszler. And April goes Sane.
And last, but certainly not least, and a little disappointed this is not happening in Hell in a Cell, not even going to lie, but I'm not going to complain. In the last man standing match that we all deserve, because God knows the last one wasn't, we're getting Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa for the NXT Championship.
Call this like an actual last man standing matchup, and don't start counting when just because their back's on the ground for half a second.
Please don't.
Give them the chance to wrestle. Give them a chance to fight. Let this be really, really good. And I mean really, really good.
I think it's going to go on without saying it's going to be really, really good.
It does, but it doesn't, because we know WWE-style last man standing matches lately. And they've been just subpar.
Now, but there is a difference between WWE last man standing, or matches, I should say, and NXT. Because we had the non-sanctioned fight, which went further than they would have gone on WWE TV. Then we had the street fight, which was a bit more brutal than we'd seen on TV. So I think they'll ratchet this up a notch, and it'll be better than we will see with something like a SummerSlam or Extreme Rules or whatever would take place on Sundays.
Omega, your thoughts?
God bless this pay-per-view. For this alone, I'm gonna lay this out. I'm happy you know, like I'm happy that we are getting these two again for the championship in Last Man Standing. I'm not happy with the circumstance that got us here.
Right.
Like I am not happy that Aleister Black is injured. I am happy that he is out of this match because I don't want Aleister Black in the middle of these two. I want Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano to try to murder each other forever. But again, this is one of those situations of it just feels perfect. Last Man Standing is the perfect stip for these two in the rubber match. It's the NXT championship on the line. It's SummerSlam weekend. It's one of the biggest situations you could set up for this match. And I am so happy that it is happening at all. I'm just going to gush. Like, there's nothing else for me to say. I'm just going to gush. This is going to be amazing.
So who's going to win, Omega?
God damn it.
I mean, there's nothing we can talk about their feud. We've talked about it for months now. We've talked all about it. There's nothing new. It is where it is. Gargano's obsessed with Ciampa until he gets the belt and finally ends him. That's simple. Does it end here? Because we know this wasn't the original plan. Was the original plan to go one more time in November? Or are they going to just move up the plans and end it here at SummerSlam weekend?
It feels like it was originally going to be a triple threat so that they could prolong it. Right now, they are left in a situation where they've got to improvise, and it feels like the better play is to wait for Aleister Black to come back and use it to kick off a new feud. Whether Black comes back and says, you know, like, Johnny, why did you attack me? And we just kick off this whole thing where Gargano becomes a little bit darker because he was that determined to get Ciampa. He's the one who orchestrated the attack. You know, things like that. NXT is the place where I can feel like they roll with that a little bit better than the main roster and write that stuff back into the plot a lot better. So I feel like the best play here for is to end the feud here, give Gargano the championship, and just let it stew a little bit so we can get Aleister Black back and see where the other half, because even after this match, we've got a lingering plot thread that's not going to get resolved until he returns. And I feel like it'd be a more interesting plot thread to have if Gargano's got the belt when he comes back.
So officially...
Gargano.
Brent, officially...
I'm going to say, I personally want Gargano to win just for the fact that I think it would be really interesting for Johnny to get that one up on Tommaso. Because even though he won the unsanctioned fight, Gargano's been holding over his head that, you know, oh, I beat you handcuffed. And he's just being, and now he has, you know, I've even gotten the belt before you did. Now if Johnny can beat Tommaso and take the belt from him, I think it would send Tommaso into a whole different level. And he'll, it's that kind of thing of, like you talked about earlier with Adam Cole saying, that's my belt. It would be Tommaso going, no, you didn't beat me. Like, that's mine. I can't, and he can't handle the fact that Johnny is better. That being said, I kind of hope that this can simmer the feud for just a little bit, let them go in a little bit of a different direction, because to me it's feeling almost like Owens and Sami Zayn in a sense, where you can always come back to it. You can always, like, oh yes, they have this long running blood feud, but I don't want them to burn out of this really quick, where all of a sudden it's going to become AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura, where we're going, oh, they're fighting again. Even though they're going to be great matches, even though I'm excited about it, I just don't want to get to that point where we're oversaturated. And I think if Gargano wins the belt here, Tommaso, like I said, can go crazy. He can try and get Johnny to put the belt on the line and try to get it back, but you can let it kind of simmer for a while before you pay it off. And even then, you can add Aleister into it, like Omega said, and go, you know, maybe Johnny did jump him. But I'm going officially for Johnny Wrestling. Finally gets his dream and wins it.
Lindsay, officially, you're going with?
I'm going with Tommaso Ciampa because I don't think we've seen how far Johnny Gargano is willing to go to not only get Tommaso, but get the title as well. Like we said, we're starting to see the descent of into madness, into the dark, into questionable territory for Johnny Gargano. He's going down this path where he has to have Tommaso Ciampa. He has to beat Tommaso Ciampa. He has to take everything from Tommaso because Tommaso did that to him. And what he's not realizing is what he's losing along the way. You know, he's lost Candace's supposed support, where she was like, I can't believe you're doing this, and I'm not okay with this. Even though, you know, we all see, know she supports him and she's like, beat him up. But still, it's like, what is Johnny willing to do to get the title? What is Johnny willing to do to beat Tommaso? And how far will he go? I don't think we've seen that yet. I feel like if Johnny is the one that attacked Aleister Black, this is just the tipping point for him. He's going to continue to chase Tommaso. And I feel like we can get one more out of this. And that's a sell. This needs to go to a Hell in a Cell match. This just, I'm sorry. It does. This is tailored for it.
Yet we won't get it.
Yet we won't get it, but I feel like they could do it. They could totally get away with it. And if they do, that's the moment that you have Johnny Gargano win. But that being said, if it doesn't go to it, Johnny should win this match. But I also kind of don't want him to win just because I want to see how far he's willing to go. Because it's a new character for Johnny. They've been slowly retooling Johnny Gargano in front of our eyes, and we've been seeing descend into this madness that Tommaso has put him in, and I'm just not ready for it to be over. Like, I'm just not ready for him to win the title, and it's the boyhood dream and all that other shit. I mean, it'll be cool when he does it, but until then, it's Johnny just continues to escalate and continues to do worse things, and until eventually he becomes the thing he hates. He becomes Tommaso. And then he wins the title and he has to look at himself in the mirror with the title and realize what he's done. And when he realizes what he's done, that's when you have Aleister Black come back and you have a reckoning between Aleister and Johnny. And that's if Johnny's even still in NXT, he could be on the main roster at that point. But at some point you have the come to Jesus between Aleister and Johnny for this.
Johnny was the one who took out Aleister.
If Johnny was the one that took out Aleister, he may not have been, but I'm just saying that would be a really good built-in story that it all started with Johnny Gargano taking out Aleister Black, his supposed friend, to get Tommaso Ciampa all to himself. So, and also, Tommaso's just doing damn good work. Damn good work. He is the best heel they have in the company. The company. Not just NXT. The company. He is one of the best things they have going right now. Don't take that title off of him. Have him win and have him prod the ever-living crap out of Johnny.
For me, it's always better when the heel wins the last man standing matchup. Tommaso Ciampa retains his NXT championship on this night. The Magic 8-Ball says Tommaso as well.
See, we started with the 8-Ball and we end with the 8-Ball. See, that's how we roll, but I think that does it for NXT TakeOver in this show. So coming up next,
In like five minutes,
because we all have to reset, switch mics, do all that other happy stuff, get drinks, you know, the norms. We will be playing Fortnite Squad Edition. So everybody, squad up, because here we go. Should be a fun night. But Omega, you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
So, if you want to look at what I am doing all over the internet, you can generally find it under one name, unless you want to follow me over on Facebook, in which case you'll have to search out for TJ Reviews. Everywhere else on the internet, I am TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel with over 1,000 videos worth of content. And for the content that YouTube is not a fan of, but other people are, it is over at TJOmega.net.
Check out 20,000 reviews from MetroCon.
Not reviews, but video, yeah, there's videos. 20,000, a whole bunch of crap.
20,000 videos from MetroCon, including Kaiju Big Battle.
I have a wrestling show up on my YouTube channel now. I'm so happy.
As it should be, by God. All right, Brent?
Yes?
You have things to plug?
Well, if people want to see my ramblings on Twitter, you can find me at Kane Kittens. And for anyone who's interested, it is now up to 1,761 days.
That's so wrong, dude. Yes, by the way, if you're in the sound of my voice and you work or live or go to Arizona, Please go pull him out of his office and make him take a day off. Thank you.
Hey, I was outside of my office for the past few days. I was helping people move in. Thank you very much.
Kidnap him and bring him food. Kidnap
him,
put him in the back of a car, leave his computer behind, leave his phone behind, so he can have officially a day off.
Well, if I was going to take any day off, it would be tomorrow, but that's not happening, so.
God. Anyway, Rock, go.
Saturday night, midnight-ish. It'll be another edition of CBM Radio. This week on the program for the Greater Than Great Debate, we're doing Knock Knock Jokes. Yep. CBM Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Hashtag Blame Rob when a celebrity dies. Go to twitter.com/LoneJobber for the Eastern Wrestling analysis of New Japan Professional Wrestling Sunday night. Omega will return live to the airwaves with Heartbreak Mike and Tim Stein and myself to review SummerSlam whenever it ends. Who knows what time. Monday night is the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. On Tuesdays, you can check out the Rack Extra Reviews. Ms. and Mrs. Episode 4 is now available. Episode 5 will be available on Tuesday night. It is Rack Radio Show on all your favorite social media. So it's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. It's on Tumblr. We're on Stitcher. We're on iTunes, which is Apple Podcasts. We're all over the place. It's the Rack Radio Show. You can follow at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, and make sure you go to twitch.tv/WTR Live so you know when we go live with podcasts and we'll go live with Fortnite and any other video game content we do. It's twitch.tv/WTR Live.
You need to start streaming Madden.
I tried that over. Anyway, keep going.
Anyway, you can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychworddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view the artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at Behance.net/LensWord, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out our awesome sponsors, MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211, Gerwick.net, and FightBoot.com. So for Rock, for Omega, for Brent, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be back in just a few minutes with Fortnite. Till then, bye!
Radio.com.